Feeling-driven.
Willpower.
Welcome to another Wempower episode. I'm here today to introduce you to women and colleagues who have been working for several years in the STEM field. I'm talking of Alice Gualerzi, a scientific researcher at Fondazione Dognocchi, and Marzia Bedoni, Alice supervisor and scientist senior. She is the head of laboratory of nanomedicine and clinical biophotonics in Fondazione Dognocchi as well. Hello Marzia and Alice, thank you for being here today.
So Hello. I would like to start with you, Marzia, and ask you, where did the idea of specializing in nanomedicine and clinical biophotonics at Carlo Gnocchi Onlus came about?
Okay, thank you for your question. When I was finishing my PhD degree at the University of Milan, I had the opportunity to get knowing whom was later my head of lab in Dognocchi, who is Dr. Furio Grammatica. At that moment, he needed advice in the field of skin research for the application of controlled release transdermal drug delivery system. And at that moment, I was an expert in skin during my PhD research. And also a microscopist. So with Furio, we began a close collaboration and he led me toward this fascinating world of nanomedicine. After finishing my PhD at the University of Milan, I decided to come to the Dognocchi Foundation and to work in the clinical research, starting from the needs of clinicians and patients. Applying this innovative research in the field of nanotechnology and both biophotonics. I got involved in the start studying the physical chemistry that was at the basis of the biophotonic methods like Raman spectroscopy, and I still do it. It is a continuous discovery. Now I have been working in this field for 14 years, and I find every day that is has a fascinating implication in its application to medicine.
I see. And during your career path as a female scientist, have you ever encountered obstacles in terms of gender inequality? And if so, how did you act to them?
I have to say that I have been quite lucky in my career path. As I have not encountered too many obstacles in terms of gender inequality. The working environment I have experienced in my first year of work during my PhD in University of Milan was a predominantly female environment. At that time, I was working in the department with many female professors in the medicine department, and most of my colleagues were female researchers. Later on, in the Gnocchi Foundation, I started working in a totally different environment, predominantly represented by men. However, in the last few years, we have a scientific director who is a woman. He is Professoressa Maria Chiara Carrozia. So, despite some difficulties in my path, I have encountered strong women who demonstrated that women can be leaders, even in the scientific field like medicine and bioengineering, where men have historically predominated in the leading positions. However, looking at my personal experience, I would like to share with you some observations I made in this field of female power. First of all, women often feel that they have to fight for their position to demonstrate their value, especially against the male counterpart. But they keep on fighting even when they are not more at risk. Because we are really multitasking. We are able to be good mothers, good wife, and excellent leaders. And we don't have to lose this ability and this privilege. Unfortunately, especially in exclusively female working team, I had the perception that women might lose their ability to cooperate, which is one of women's best quality, as we are more teamwork prone. But in, for example, in STEMs, where they face frequent fights and competition with their male colleagues, they sometimes forget the importance of their natural gift in cooperation, and tend to acquire the negative attitude to unfair competition of male colleagues, bringing it to an extreme. The second observation is that women often feel the need to continuously demonstrate their value and forget to ask for the adequate recognition of merits. It seems like that women often feel themselves lacking, even if they are not, and they are satisfied with too little compared to men. I don't know if there is any statistics about it, but I feel that they don't even ask for more. I think that men sometimes have better salary and position also because they ask for it, while women don't. They are too busy in demonstrating to others their value, to demonstrate to families that they are good mothers, even with a full-time job, and to bosses that they are good workers, even if they have little kids to take care of. And some of them unconsciously believe that asking for more might be used against them as a sign of weakness. This is something related to culture and education. We should help young women to feel more self-confident. Don't be afraid to ask for equal treatment as mean colleagues do.
Right, I completely agree. And this point of raising hand and speak up is a topic which came out quite often in other interviews I've done, because sometimes we as women are so focused in fighting for our rights and in demonstrating we are capable to do different things together, that we forget to ask what we actually deserve. We forget to ask for a merit. So, and also the fact that we all should cooperate together, not only between women, but mostly between men and women. So thank you so much, Marta, for your words and for what you just said.
A question now to Alice. Thank you so much for being here as well, Alice. So could you briefly tell us about your PhD experience at the University of California, San Francisco, and your post-PhD experience in Sardinia, the Polaris Science and Technology Park? My question into deep is if you did find any differences in treatment or inequalities because of being a woman between you and your colleagues, and how, and if so, to what extent?
Sure, thank you, Amina. My research experience at UCSF and at Polaris have been totally different from a working point of view. This is mainly because of my personal attitude towards research, because my experience in San Francisco made me more self-confident. I learned the importance of personal initiative in research, and something that I put immediately into practice then in Cagliari. But as was concerns your specific question, I have to say that in both cases, I had a woman as a supervisor, and in both cases, they were strong women. They are strong women with a great passion for research. And during both experiences, I didn't feel really differences in treatment between me and my colleagues, because of being a woman, and I didn't notice anyone suffering for gender inequalities among people of my age. But what I have to say is that both at UCSF and in Cagliari, the leading position were held by men who were in charge for the coordination of the activities. And moreover, there was a problem of precariousness in both cases, that goes beyond the gender inequity. At UCF SEF, my supervisor, Dr. Chaling Tu, is a mom and a researcher, and she was striving to obtain the results necessary to be granted for new funds to continue her research. And in Cagliari as well, my supervisor was the chief of the startup I was working for, but at the same time, she was achieving her second PhD, trying to keep on doing her job, but at the same time to have the titles to compete for a stable position at the university. So unfortunately, I later on discovered that she decided to change her path totally, leaving research and the laboratory for a work with a longer perspective that made biomedical research lose a very valuable researcher.
Right. And also about the attitude that you were talking about, I'm going to link the next question because also attitude is another topic that is coming up quite often during all these interviews, because it's not only about like our passions. We can have passions, but we need competence as well. And our future depends on our attitude, on how we react to things. So would you like to tell us about your first project that you presented to Marzia? And your previous chef as well. How did you feel about it and what opportunities this brought to you?
Sure, sure, it's a pleasure. Well, when I started working in Fondazione Dognocchi, I was there to complete a project for Marzia because she was in her maternity leave. And while working on it, I was really tempted by starting something new. I wanted to apply the biophotonic methods that I was just learning at Fondazione Dognocchi, that they were new to me, but I wanted to apply them on the study of stem cell products, in particular on extracellular vesicles that are now under investigation for their application in regenerative medicine. And thanks to the previously cited experiences, those in San Francisco and in Cagliari, I realized that my PhD has not been the springboard that should have been for me. Probably because I didn't find in my PhD supervisor a good mentor. So I wanted to do something that I could really feel mine, and that I found in Marzia, in our previous boss, Dr. Furio Grammatica, two scientists that accepted to sustain me, and they gave me the opportunity to try and also to risk. They allowed me to test my hypothesis. They verified, of course, that I had the background to start the project, but they also provided me the contacts that were necessary to start it. Their network was really essential for me to start, as well as their scientific support. It was the first time that I was starting a project that I had conceived, and they provided me with the resources to do it. And this has brought me, and also the laboratory, to start a research topic that still is one of the main areas of research for us. But before that moment, I had always completed other people's projects. I had very little space for my personal initiative. The very first person who asked me what I wanted to do to go on with the project and that allowed me to use her money to try to do something was Dr. Chaling Tu at UCSF. At that time, I wasn't not prepared to take that opportunity. And the second time was with Marzia and Furio. And there I had a good attitude and I took the chance. And I feel that this was my very first real professional success.
So in terms of attitude and being ready to take the chance, at some point in women's life, it can happen to stand in front of a crossroad. On the right-hand side, there is the becoming a mother and raise a family, and on the left-hand side, the pursuing the career path. In your case, Alicia, you've been able to do both, as you are a researcher and the mother of a wonderful son. So how did you manage to find a balance between being a scientist, but also a mother with the various commitments and responsibility which came with it? So this question is for you, but if also Marzia would like to intervene, it would be great to listen a second experience.
Well, yes, this is a really good question, and I'm not really sure about the answer, actually. Sometimes I feel I still haven't found a good balance. Sometimes, at the same time, I'm surprised of my ability to make things work at home and still have the energies to be enthusiastic about my job. So being a scientist requires really great mental effort, and you cannot consider it done when you go home. At the same time, I love the balance that I can have with the experimental part of my job and intellectual one. But the problem of being a mother is that you have to make a no fixed time job to fit with the schedules of private life of the kids. And so if you are a scientist, you are usually a very good problem solver. And it turns out to be really useful also as a mother, because a mother has to be flexible and multitasking. And these are qualities that are really desirable also for a scientist. So I think that in the practical life, you can find easily a balance as every mother does with every type of work. What is sometimes more difficult to accept in our work is that being a mother and a scientist does not allow you to go at the same speed as others do, especially the male colleagues. Because when I got pregnant, I had to stop most of my lab activities really long before the maternity leave. So because of the obvious chemical and biological risk that I'm exposed to in the lab. And then I ran the risk of having my first maternity leave unpaid because of unacceptable scholarships that are reserved for young researchers. They are really common, actually, especially in Italy. They are granted a prestigious institution, but they do not guarantee adequate safeguard of the rights of the worker, especially of mothers. And this is something about our work that should be totally revolutionized. In the last years, I had multiple conversations, actually, with other colleagues of my age about this issue, and they asked me how it was to be a mother and a postdoc at the same time, if it was feasible, if I was worried about my job, and you know, actually, yes, I was worried. When I was expecting my first child, I was 29. I had just started to work on the project about extracellular vesicles in the Gnocchi Foundation that we were talking about, and I was really afraid that it would have been slowed really too much, that someone could have released similar research papers before I could. And besides, in the beginning, when you have a child, you might prefer not to travel, or you need not to travel, but if you do so, you lose visibility and networking opportunities. And as a woman, it's difficult to accept that if you become a mother, you have a temporary stop that other male colleagues do not have. The difficulty is that we are judged based on what we produce in terms of research paper. But of course, if you stop your project for a while, you might have a year gap in your publication records. And actually, I have it. And you might be not suitable for the submission of proposal as principal investigator for grant funding. And in some cases, this is taken into account by evaluation criterions. I mean that sometimes your age is recalculated considering your maternity leave, but still you feel a pressure, a great pressure. And personally, I had to learn to accept it, to accept that I had to leave something behind and accept not to accomplish the entire to-do list in the expected time, and at least for a while. And of course, a good salary and the possibility to afford the payment of babysitting and other sort of helps in the private life would greatly help. But sometimes, often, our salary does not allow it. And you usually have also highest education title you can have. But you have to rely on your partner's salary or on the help of the grandparents. And this is not acceptable, and it's difficult to accept. I don't want to make anyone lose hope. I mean, there's plenty of good women in science who do really great. And I am myself a permanent researcher. But I want to stress that as a scientist, in particular as Italian woman scientist, you have to be double passionate because of both the difficulties related to the balance between private and professional life and the inappropriate consideration that we have in research. It's a cultural gap for both women and science. The last year with the pandemic, it has been particularly tough, but I think that something good will come out because the importance of research accurately and rigorously conducted, even if it's not immediately applicable, now I think people can see the importance of research. And I hope that it will change also the consideration given to researchers, to scientists, and of course, as a consequence on women in science.
Well, I think that the key points of what also Alicia underlined in this response is that the key points are that we have the intrinsic ability as female to be mother, to be a good scientist, also a leaders maybe, and we really can. We have to believe in this one. We have to believe in ourselves. So also men can believe it if we believe in ourselves. It is possible. And me and also Alice really believe in this opportunity.
Absolutely. And I believe that men should be the first one recognizes that this gender gap exists. And they should be the first one to stand and fight on our side, believing in us, believing in our job, as we do.
Last but not least question for you, Marcia. Today is the 11th of February, which is the International Day of Women and Girls in Science adopted by the United Nations. Would you like to leave a comment on that by taking stock of the past, present, and future of the situation of women in STEM?
Yes, sure. Well, science and gender equality are both vital for the achievement of the internationally agreed development goals. I think that this event should be more emphasized and promoted, not only at all the scientific levels, but also at the common public, in order to really encourage the science career in the young women, girls, and also in babies, maybe. Only if we disseminate at everyone with a common language that some of the best scientists in the world were and are female, we reach the objective and to bridge the gap between the male and the female world in this field of science. In the past, we had few women that won a Nobel Prize and that lead a group. Nowadays, despite some important exceptions in the world, women have full right to study and an academic career. And there are many female figures who stand out in the most diverse work environments. However, the stereotypes that girls are less inclined to scientific and technological studies remains in latent form in the mind, especially in the man mind, because they are, we female are naturally inclined to study in the humanistic style and so on. Instead, there are many women who are famous today for their position in the numerous branches of science, for example, astrophysics, technologies, passing obviously also through medicine. And for example, like our scientific director, Professoressa Maria Chiara Carrozza. And I'm a mother of female twins, and I hope that in the future, we will not arrive to talk about this theme, because it will be usual to have a female director or a female president and so on. So I hope this, I want to leave this message for all the female scientists and all the female young women or also babies like my twins. Thank
and
you.
And I think this is a great message to pass on, as only like taking all the experiences that we have around, we can empower other women to follow like what they like, what are their passions, and to not be afraid of taking some risks, because without taking some risks, we cannot know yeah. our future. So I really want to thank you again for being here today, Alice and Marta. It was really a pleasure to talk with you. And I'm really happy that you are available to share your experience and your thoughts about the topic of women in STEM. I think it's really important to share this field, because as you said, Marta, before, in the historical mindset, people think the scientific world is more related to men, but as we can see, like numbers of nowadays and the past, the women who won Nobel Prizes in chemistry, in physics, in scientists, is showing yeah. that this mindset is changing, and also women are inclined to this field. So I'm yeah. pretty sure that with all the words that you use today, it's gonna encourage and empower other women to feel more self-confident and to probably and hopefully to walk into the STEM path. So thank you yeah. very much again.
Thank you, Amina. Thank you to you.
You can discover more inspiring and powerful stories at www.wempower.co. Buy a membership to support our journalism and follow us on social media at WemPower UK. Don't forget that together we empower women.